The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And if you didn't know what we're going to be talking about by that opening, then you're out of luck.
Well, it's telling you. Right there.
Exactly.
Now, we've talked a little bit about Batman-ish things in the past.
Yes.
We've covered Gotham in our love-hate relationship with that show.
Which is still going on.
Which is still going on. And we still both love it and hate it. But this week, we are going to be discussing the Nolan Batman trilogy.
The Nolanverse version.
The Nolanverse.
As they say.
Yes. Which is the most recent iteration of a Batman standalone.
Sure.
Right. Because now we have the whole Justice League thing.
Yeah.
But that's been Batman and Superman, and this is the most recent
just Batman.
So the Christian Bale Batman.
Yeah.
The one that made Batman have a ridiculously gravelly voice.
Now, before we get into this, I'd like to point out that we're back.
We are.
This is a new episode.
New episode. Yeah.
This is for those who are listening later. It's October the 2nd.
Yes.
Of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And on October the 3rd of 2017 is when we started our first show.
Happy anniversary to us.
Yay.
We have been on the air for 1 year.
1 year equals 52 weeks, and this is episode 38. So,
okay,
not too bad.
Not too bad.
We've been pretty busy. We've done some reruns. We've done some. So, 14 in a year, not terrible.
Yeah.
I think that's better than most TV shows.
That's right.
And you know what? We come out there with fresh content, and by Jove, we give it everything we've got. But, yeah, so it's our anniversary.
Yeah.
We've been on for a year.
That's awesome. So make sure you check out our website at gomezcast.com, and you can revisit all of our episodes, except our last live one, which isn't there yet, but it will be tonight, because we're a little behind.
Yes.
And you can catch up with our mascot, Walby. I'm very excited about Walby's poster for this episode. Yes, he's put on a little makeup, and so be sure you go over there and check it out. We're also on iTunes and Spotify. We are pretty much anywhere you can listen to any podcast.
We're like the Visa of podcasts.
Yeah.
We're everywhere you want to be.
That's right. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good. It feels good.
Yeah.
We're not any less busy. We're able to fit this in now. So, but we plowed through, and we watched all three of the movies in the last 2 days.
Yes.
I mean, we had already seen them before.
Right.
But we want to make sure that we were fresh and ready to go for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a lot to discuss with these movies.
Yeah.
Like, they're very good and very bad at the same time.
I don't necessarily agree. They're not both at the same time. Some of them are very good, and then others are don't hold up.
But when you first think about them, they're very good. And
sure,
they're a crowning achievement in the Batman lore.
Absolutely.
But then upon further scrutinization, they don't quite hold up as well.
Only three.
Okay, three is the worst offender. No.
Yeah. I would go so far as to say that Batman Begins. So you have three movies in the trilogy. You have Batman Begins, you have The Dark Knight, and then you have The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm sorry, like, it's weird that you go with Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and then The Dark Knight Rises. You just threw another word at the end of your first one,
right,
at the end of your sequel.
And didn't he rise in Batman Begins?
That's how Batman Rises, yeah. They should have put in a Robin in the third one and then called it the Dynamic Duo.
Mm.
That way you have all of the names. You have, you have Batman, you have The Dark Knight, and you have the Dynamic Duo. Or, if you don't want to add a Robin, you could have even done The World's Greatest Detective. But then again, you have,
Yeah, that kind of, I don't think people really associate Batman with The World's Greatest Detective. I know he is, and I know he's been called that. But I think when people hear that, especially right now, they think Sherlock.
Sure.
And so that wouldn't have been, that wouldn't have been a good way to go. I was mentioning this after we watched them last night, that I'm kind of sad that we never really got Robin. Because the last time we got a Robin in a movie, outside of Teen Titans Go, which is amazing, I'm just going to throw that out there because it's amazing and I love it. But in live-action Robin was Chris O'Donnell in Batman and Robin, which is got to be the worst Batman movie ever made.
Interestingly enough, he looks like Robin in Batman Forever. Mm-hmm. He's got the coloring, the color scheme, and he's got the R. But then they gave him this big old red bird in Batman and Robin, and a lot of people don't really realize that that's actually the Nightwing costume.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't call
right.
him Nightwing.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
And so those movies, the movies of the 90s and early 2000s, well, actually, I guess this one's early 2000s, so it's just 90s.
The 90s. Right? Oh, yeah, no, it ended in 90s. So before we get into this whole Nolan verse, we got an hour and we're not going to be able to talk anyway. So the first one came out in 89, second one came out in 92, Batman Returns in 92. Batman Forever was 95, Batman Robin was 97. So they ended in the, so they were pretty much 90s.
So those movies are very comic book-esque. Like, they took the comic book from the page to the screen. And so everything is larger than life, everything is brightly colored, even though it's still dark, which is weird. But it's very over the top.
No, I'd say that the two Tim Burton ones were that way.
Yeah,
they're very gothic. They're very Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much. I mean, it's Michael Keaton. It's dark settings and fantastic, huge over the topness.
Right.
It's Beetlejuice.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but the Joel Schumacher ones, Batman Forever was okay.
I love Batman Forever.
We're not getting into these too much. I'm just saying
right.
that Batman and Robin was so bad that it feels like it was a modern retelling of the 1960s TV show mm-hmm. Batman, because it was that hokey.
But without the charisma of Adam West.
Right.
And we've said this before that who played Batman in that movie? Oh, my goodness. George Clooney was a good Batman in a bad Batman movie.
He was a good Bruce Wayne not a very good Batman.
He was a good actor in a bad movie, so he could not save that movie. But anyway, I digress. The reason I bring up these movies is because the Dark Knight trilogy, Nolan's trilogy, is a lot more real. Like, it feels like just a regular action movie versus a comic book movie. It's not over the top in the same way. And I think that it's too bad that we didn't really get Robin in a serious movie versus the hokiness of the 90s.
Yeah, and even if we get it now, we're going to be getting it in the DC Universe Justice League era.
Which is not getting off to a good start.
No.
So anyway, back to Batman Begins.
Batman Begins. Personally, my favorite of the three.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that because everyone wants, you know, everyone says The Dark Knight's the best because of the Joker. No. Batman Begins is absolutely the best of the three.
I think story-wise, it's really good.
It's solid.
And it's an origin story that I don't mind that much. Like, I am so tired of seeing the Waynes gunned down in an alleyway. We get it. This is how Batman is created. However, they tweak it just a little bit in order to make it more interesting. One of my biggest problems with Batman as a character is that he just kind of seems like an emo teenager.
He's whiny.
He's always dressed in black, and he hangs outside in the dark in the rain, and he feels bad for himself. You know, a lot of us go through childhood trauma, and at some point you gotta, you know, just let it go. But in this particular case, they make a point to show that it's kind of his fault. I mean, of course it's not. But he's going to feel like it is because he got scared at the opera. Because
in the regular canon, they all come from a movie. Usually it's Mask of Zorro.
Right.
And in this, they were at the opera. Mm-hmm. And the opera there was a big part of it. I don't know what the whole opera is about, but it's with bats.
Yeah.
Big bats. He's afraid of bats.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to leave.
Right.
So they leave out the side to go down the alley because they left the opera early.
Mm-hmm. And that's when they get, you know, held up at gunpoint and his parents die. So he has a more reasonable reason for feeling not only sad that this happened to his parents, but feeling responsible for it. And so I think that that feeds into his need to be the savior of the city, because he has to make up for the fact that he couldn't save his parents. Even though that's ridiculous, he was a child.
Right.
But still, I like that it gives that a little more credence.
Well, and like you said, I'm sick of seeing the origin too, but you kind of go in, at least go into a movie where it's called Batman Begins. You're like,
right,
I'm gonna give you a pass because you told me before I go in. It's not the focal point of every Batman movie.
Exactly.
But the great part about this is it takes place during a part of Batman's youth and training that kind of gets glossed over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This part of his life was only really first covered in Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which was the animated movie from the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that one. That animated movie gives you a lot of his backstory and how he almost didn't become Batman because he fell in love with Andrea Beaumont, and then like how it all tied together. It's a brilliantly crafted story. Like, it's highly underrated even to this day. And I feel like Batman Begins took a lot from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And including adding in this Rachel Dawes character played by Katie Holmes. I'm like, had they called her Andrea Beaumont, we could have been led to believe that she would become the Phantasm.
Right. Spoiler. Which would have been awesome.
Spoiler, yeah.
Yeah.
But
do you think they didn't do that because they wanted her to die in the second movie?
Spoiler again.
Hey, these movies are old. Batman Begins came out in 2005.
Right.
The statute of limitations is done. We have never made any allusions to the fact that this is a spoiler-free show.
This is true. This is true.
We actually will comment if we are not spoiling things.
Yes.
Like, oh, this is too new. We're not going to spoil it. No, there are spoilers on this show.
And the one where she dies is 10 years old now.
Yeah. So, no. I'm confident in saying that.
It's fine. Just throwing that out there. But what I love about this one is that it's so practical.
Mm-hmm.
It gives reasons for everything that is Batman. Some of the things that even make Batman ridiculous, they give reasons for, and actually almost, I don't want to say retcon it back, but they definitely legitimize the things that he's doing.
Right. Yeah. His interactions with Morgan Freeman, who plays Lucius Fox, are great.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the whole plausible deniability. So he never actually tells Lucius that what he wants all these things for. It's, I'm going spelunking. And of course Lucius doesn't believe him. But that's not really the point. And so it's kind of cool to see that kind of, you know, the tech side, you know, where all this technology comes from. Because it's not just, he's a billionaire and he has toys. So now he, you know, there's a reason why he wants these specific things, and this is why he needs them made this way. And so now go make them.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. And including, you know, like his suit. It's not just a suit. It's a tactical gear, you know. And I remember that when I first saw pictures of the Batmobile from that, the Tumbler.
Mm-hmm.
Thing, I saw that in pictures in like 2004 when they were releasing steals from the movie. I'm like, first of all, why are they making another Batman movie? Why did we just not get a fifth one of the other? Because still young me in my youth and it was stupid and still wanted more sequels to the others.
Right.
But in my reasoning for that, though, is that I know usually when they start new movies, they go back to the original villain pool.
Right.
And I want to see new villains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's one of the coolest things is to see villains come to life.
That's one of my favorite things about the animated series is that Batman has such a rich treasure trove of villains. Like, it's not just Joker. Like, Joker's a great character, but he has so many interesting, nuanced villains that... That's one of my favorite things about the animated series is you got to explore those.
Batman's rogue gallery is amongst the best of all superheroes' mm-hmm. rivals. Superman's don't even really add up.
Yeah, Superman doesn't have very great.
Spider-Man's are way more theatrical than they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's when you delve into them, they're all very... They're interesting. They have nuances and layers that just a lot of the other ones don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really impressed that they actually started out this one with Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul as the two villains. I'm like, oh, so I didn't actually have to go back to the original villain pool of let's start off with the Joker, let's start off with Catwoman and Penguin and all these. Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul. Okay, let's do this. Okay.
Yeah, until we started watching it, I had forgotten that Liam Neeson was in these movies.
Yeah.
And while I enjoyed his performance, I wasn't buying his facial hair. I don't know why. It just looks super fake, and I'm like, just take that off your face. I'll take it more seriously if just take it off your face.
Listen, I have a certain set of skills. I have a way of shaving my face that is a nightmare for people like you. Now, if you don't mention my facial hair, that'll be the end of it. You'll be able to go on. But if you mention my facial hair again, I will find you, and I will kill you.
Well, that kind of reminds me of another point of Batman Begins that kind of gets me. Is so he's gone through his training, right?
Sure.
And now Ra's al Ghul, who is making him think that he's not Ra's al Ghul.
Correct.
Why was that explained, why he was doing that? He just wanted to mess with him?
Well, he wanted him to be the League of Shadows, and he wanted to, like, get a new mentor or a new, you know, protege.
His training is done, and now they're trying to induct him into the League of Shadows, and his final test is, you know, kill this random dude.
Oh, boy, here we go, yeah.
And Batman says, no, I don't want to kill this random dude. Why should I kill him? And, I don't even remember.
I'm not an executioner.
Right.
I'm not a judge.
And so Ra's al Ghul says, no, you have to.
My Christian Bale is very Keanu Reeves, by the way.
A little bit, yeah. So you have to kill him. No, I don't want to kill him. And then he...
I'm not a killer.
And then he proceeds to fight everybody in the building, blow up the building, and in the process, killing a whole bunch of other people.
Including probably that guy.
Including the guy he didn't want to kill in the first place. Not that I'm saying that he should have just killed the one guy. I'm just saying, you know, you're kind of going against your creed here, that you didn't want to kill this guy but then end up killing all these other people, you're not really helping your cause here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But other than that, it was a very good movie.
That's like not wanting to splash water in your face because you're afraid of water, but instead just jump into a pool.
Yeah. You're
way overcorrected. Yeah, but I just love everything. Like, this one, the story holds up. It's solid.
And I love Gary Oldman as Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. And I also like that he's not the commissioner yet.
Yeah.
He's just a detective, which is where Gotham was trying to go and was doing it poorly.
Yeah.
But in this one, it works. And I just, I love Gary Oldman. And I know he usually plays villains, and I don't care. I still love him. So, like you were saying, it was nice to see him play a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just straight up good guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even in Harry Potter, while he is a good guy, he starts out as, you know, what you think is going to be the villain.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, but he kind of seems like he's going to be.
But, yeah, I feel that this movie has the least plot holes in it.
Yes, I will agree with that.
It's solid. It holds up. So for me, it is when you take in the fact that it is very, how do you say it? It's very, the plot holes are less. It's very practical in explaining everything, and everything about it just fits. And it tells a different story that you're not used to seeing in a Batman movie.
Right.
It's the best. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly where I want to leave it. Do you have anything else to say about that one?
No, I think I'm done. I think we're done with that one.
I think we're done, too. I think we should take a break.
Absolutely.
We'll come back and we'll talk about The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Yes. We will discuss The Dark Knight, which is the second one in the Nolan trilogy, and the one everyone probably thinks is their favorite.
I think it's my favorite.
That's okay, and we'll discuss why.
All right.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
A timeless classic comes to life on stage in Reading. Come watch as two California workmen travel along the Sacramento River. The story of gruff yet kind-hearted George and his simple and misunderstood friend Lenny. Starring Russell Payette and Don Tamblyn, along with an all-star cast that's sure to tug at your heartstrings. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 23rd through April 20th.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Oh, I got a live one here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez. And what was that?
This is Bat Dance.
Oh.
This is Prince.
Yes.
Doing the pop track from the first movie. Yeah.
So this was a trivia question at a recent trivia night that you were not at, and I didn't know this song, and I got this wrong.
Oh, see, I could have told you that.
Now I know. Now
sorry.
I know. That's all right. So now we just talked about Batman Begins, which was the first movie of the Nolanverse trilogy of Batman stuff.
Yes.
So now we're going to talk about 2008's The Dark Knight. And this
one is the one that is almost everyone's favorite.
Oh, yeah. This is the most successful comic book movie ever. Ever. It is the first comic book. Well, okay, at the time. Sorry. I'm sure the Avengers beat it at the point that it came to. It was the very first comic book movie to break $1 billion.
It's billion with a B.
Billion with a B, like Batman.
Yep.
I mean, this movie was so popular, and I mean, one of the obvious reasons was Heath Ledger, because Oh my gosh, he did an amazing job, and tragically died before the movie was released.
Mm-hmm.
He did get to finish the movie, though. He did all the principal photography, he did all the scenes, he did all the reshoots. So it is his final complete film.
Correct. The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
He didn't get to finish that.
That's the reason why they had to replace him in the fantasy scenes with four different actors.
Right.
Yeah.
But he did an amazing job as Joker. His Joker is a lot of people's favorite. Joker.
It is the best big screen version of the Joker.
Right. And when you're talking Jokers, I mean, the one that tops our list is Mark Hamill.
Correct.
Who voiced him on the animated series.
I have to always stipulate that since we have to take the animated stuff aside. Because,
right.
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. But, yes, Mark Hamill's the best Joker. Kevin Conroy's the best Batman. But if you're taking on screen in movies.
Live action.
Live action. Yeah. The best big screen is Heath Ledger. But I think my overall favorite is Moynihan, I think is it?
It's
the kid who plays Jerome and Jeremiah in Gotham.
Which is one of the reasons we have this huge love-hate relationship with that show. Because it has our favorite live-action Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, this guy
is
amazing.
He's not the
amazing.
Joker, because they can't legally call him the Joker, because Warner Brothers won't give it up since they're now making Joaquin Phoenix the Joker.
What? Why? Okay, so you had Heath Ledger, and we can't use him anymore for obvious reasons. I get it. Then we had Jared Leto, which...
It was terrible.
Was terrible.
I don't care.
I'm
you
sorry, Chelsea. He was terrible.
Come fight me on this. He is terrible. Hated it.
And now you have Joaquin Phoenix, and just let it go.
I don't know how Joaquin's going to do. I find it interesting that the first stills from the movie, that they're releasing of him in makeup as the clown, which is obviously not Joker, but he's as the clown, looks a lot like the mask that they use in the opening robbery of Batman, or The Dark Knight.
Right, and that mask is the same that...
Cesar Romero, I think.
Romero. In his premiere in the 60s as the Joker, wore that same mask.
Nice.
So that's a thing. So that's a thing now. So that's fine. Cameron Monaghan.
Okay, that's why I was close.
Is our favorite live-action Joker, even though he's not Joker, but he's totally Joker. This kid is creepy.
He does such a good job.
I think that he does a phenomenal small-screen job to Heath Ledger's big screen.
You know, I think that if they gave him the script to one of these movies and was like, hey, be the Joker, and he could carry it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not worried that he doesn't have a big enough name yet, well, give him the opportunity.
Yes,
because
how you do it.
Yeah, put him up against a new younger Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Because Affleck. Okay, we don't even get into that. But if they get a new, if they want to reinvent the series at
again.
A younger point.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cameron Monaghan would be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Is Monaghan? I don't know.
Monaghan.
Yeah. He is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And his performance is so good that it would eventually make him a big name.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need to go, oh, he's not going to pull in the people because he doesn't have a recognizable name. It's the performance that's so good.
We were about to finally give up on Gotham. We were just like, okay, this is the last episode we're watching. And then he comes on the screen, and we're like, oh, well, forget that. Now we have to keep watching.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's so good.
Amazing.
But if you're gonna stipulate it with just big screen, Heath Ledger is amazing, and yes, he is the best.
And Jack Nicholson is classic. He's mm-hmm. classic, and he did a very good job. But Heath Ledger just takes Joker to such a completely different level. It's just crazy. And the filmmakers made a conscious decision not to give him an origin story. They didn't want us to know where he came from because that kind of makes him scarier.
Oh, absolutely.
So he kept telling stories about how he got the scars on his face. I mean, but he told like four different stories mm-hmm. throughout the course of this movie. So you don't know what is real, if any of them are real at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, he's just so insane. And he, just the little tics he used and his mannerisms.
He's
he
Australian.
Was amazing. Yeah.
And you don't hear that. At all.
Mm-hmm.
And that voice that he uses and the way his delivery
mm-hmm.
and, oh, it's just so perfect.
Yeah. So that's
he
one of the...
He won Best Supporting Actor mm-hmm. for the role.
Yes.
I feel that he may have won it because he had passed mm-hmm. and they wanted to give it to him posthumously.
Mm-hmm.
However, I feel he earned it.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would have gotten it because if, like, say he had not died... I do not think that he would have gotten the Oscar just because they don't want to recognize performances. Because there have been other good performances in comic book movies that are pretty good, that are really good too.
Mm. Yeah, he's the first comic book character to win an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that he would have had he not passed.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone was a little sentimental, and so it would have won. I didn't say he didn't deserve it.
I just don't think he did. Yeah.
I don't think he would have won because the Academy does not want to seem to give it to anything popular, and so now they want to give it. Oh, now we're going to give you a popular category, which is completely pandering.
Right. There's a theory that one of the reasons they went from a 5 to a 10 nomination for Best Picture mm-hmm. is because this movie was not nominated for Best Picture.
Mm.
Because they didn't nominate this. It's a theory that the reason they expanded it after that year was because this movie was not nominated. And this movie is very, very good.
It is.
This movie was shot in IMAX mm-hmm. with IMAX cameras. So at the time this movie was filmed, which was in 2008, there were
very specific scenes.
There were four IMAX cameras in existence, and one of them was destroyed during a chase scene. So, and you pointed this out that you can see how on, I mean, if your TV is nice enough, you can see
it. On the Blu-ray, yeah.
You can see it go from letterbox to full screen IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
And it is stunning.
Yeah.
Stunning. I know every time we get a new TV or a new Blu-ray player or new technology, this is the movie you put in.
Every time.
Because it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
But it is fantastic. It is wonderful. However, there is plot points that are glaring that knock it a few pegs, which mm-hmm. is the reason why I feel Batman Begins is better, but I can see why people like this. It's longer. Each Batman movie in the Nolan trilogy gets 12 minutes longer from the one before it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Batman Begins, Dark Knight was 12 minutes longer than Batman Begins. Dark Knight Rises is 12 minutes longer than The Dark Knight.
Which is why I fell asleep while we were rewatching The Dark Knight Rises.
But in this one, I mean, at least this one carries you through. Like,
it does. It's so interesting.
And I really don't want to gloss over how great Aaron Eckhart's performance as Harvey Dent Two-Face is. And that makeup, I remember when I saw it for the first time, I just was like, whoa. Well, not makeup, the digital effects.
CGI.
Yeah.
And that's something that Christopher Nolan has talked about, is that they considered doing Two-Face as makeup.
But Tommy Lee Jones.
Right. But the problem is that when you do makeup, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to show that his face was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they did it with CGI instead. And it looks stunning.
Well, and I love the fact that they didn't leave him alive for long.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause in the Batman universe, you know, Two-Face is around forever type of thing. And he's always Two-Face and he's scarred up and everything. But in this, he's like missing parts of his face. You know,
it's like down to his skull.
Yeah. In certain places, he doesn't have an eyelid on that one side. So I'm glad they didn't leave him alive for long, because that would have been uncomfortable to think that there's somebody alive with that much face gone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So in this movie, they bring back Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
So before, she was in the Batman Begins, she would be Holmes.
Right.
In this one, she's played by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Mm-hmm. And we were commenting, we're like, I wonder why they made that change.
Like, was Katie Holmes terrible to work with? Did she not want to do it because of, you know, not getting along with certain people?
No. They asked her to do it. Christopher, you know, contacted her and said, hey, we're making a sequel, be in this. And she turned it down so that she could be in Mad Money.
With Diane Keaton and Queen Latifah.
She gave up actual Mad Money
mm-hmm.
to make a movie Mad Money,
mm-hmm.
which didn't do as well because, come on.
Obviously.
So that was disappointing. But I think Maggie did an all right job.
Yeah.
Taking over the role. Mm-hmm. But I like that we had a consistent female presence in Batman's life. Because, I mean, Bruce Wayne is a billionaire playboy, and that's kind of his character trait, is that he goes from woman to woman, and, you know, he tells every woman he knows that he's Batman.
However, this one, that was just about to say, this one falls into the same pit that all the other ones do, which is, oh, you like me, you've kissed me, or we've made eye contact, you're a female, you must now know that I'm Batman.
Yeah.
No one can know that I'm Batman unless you have boobs.
True. Hey, he told Gordon at the end of the third one.
Oh, we'll get into that. Don't think we're not going to get into that. That was, yeah.
But, okay, so side note, how does Gotham not know Bruce Wayne is Batman?
Seriously.
I mean, so you have this guy who flies around the city with really expensive looking things, like all his cars and his planes and all this stuff looks like it's pricey.
Who could afford that?
Like, come on, Gotham. Like, I think this is even worse than Metropolis. I mean, at least Clark Kent keeps somewhat of a low profile.
Hey, Clark Kent holds down a paying job. He holds down a paying job. He has glasses, and you think glasses and a different haircut is not enough of a costume change. I defy you to go look up. In fact, we'll post it on our website. The picture of Zooey Deschanel without her bangs and without her glasses that she uses, and she looks like a completely different person.
To the point we had to do extensive research to verify that that was a picture of her.
Oh yeah, and we'll have it on our website.
And it is. We promise it is. She's at a charity gala.
Mm-hmm.
It's her. It looks nothing like her.
There's nothing like her, and all she did was take up her bangs.
And take off her glasses.
And I was like, the Clark Kent effect.
Right. So, okay, but come on, Gotham, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but I liked that we kept the same female character for Batman, that she was a love interest kind of, you know, never, not really, but she was a childhood friend that had potential to be a love interest. And then in this movie, she's actually with Dent. And so now she's unavailable to Batman. You know, he still wants her, but, you know, she's choosing someone else.
Unavailable to Batman.
Right. And then even in the third movie, as I've already spoiled, she's dead. She's still there. Like, he has a picture of her, and Talia asks about her. And so she's still a presence in the movie, which I like.
Yes. Yes. All right. I think, is there anything that we're missing on this one before
we take a break? Yeah, we really need to get into the third one because, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the third one. talk about derailing a train.
Oh my gosh.
Like they did in Batman Begins.
Yes.
Look, I brought it back around.
Good job.
Yeah, there we go. So we're going to take a break. And we'll talk about The Dark Knight Rises when we come back because you are listening to We're a Little Behind.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Is back April 20th through the 28th.
Over a week of classic fun.
So dust off your lawn chairs for the big cruise on Friday, April 26th, and get your tickets now for the main event with over 2,000 classic cars on display Saturday, April 27th.
Discount pre-registration is on now until April 1st. So get your car registered today.
Discount advance tickets are available at all Napa Auto Parts stores. Avoid the lines and buy yours now. Don't miss the 30th annual Cool April Nights, April 20th through April 28th.
Oh, baby! For more information, go to CoolAprilNights.com. That's CoolAprilNights.com. Cool April Nights is sponsored in part by Wind River Resort and Casino, Visit Reading, Marquis Shasta, Block Beverage, Reading McDonald's, Napa Auto Parts, Action News, and this radio station.
Are you looking for a place with a fun and relaxing atmosphere to unwind after a long workday? Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has just what you're looking for. Easy to find at 2155 Hilltop Drive. Let owners Robert and Rhonda Hansen welcome you to your new favorite spot in town. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has a great selection of beer on tap, fine wines, weekly live music, and a food menu that's currently the best-kept secret in Reading. Open Tuesday through Saturday starting at 4. Clean, classy, and relaxing. Head to Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar. By far, the friendliest bar.
A timeless classic comes to life on stage in Reading. Come watch as two California workmen travel along the Sacramento River, the story of gruff yet kind-hearted George and his simple and misunderstood friend Lenny. Starring Russell Payette and Don Tamblyn, along with an all-star cast that is sure to tug at your heartstrings. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 23rd through April 20th.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I am Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez. And we are talking about Batman.
You okay there?
I am.
She's looking at the radio board like something just happened.
I couldn't hear myself.
Oh, yeah. No, you're good.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just playing some music from Batman, the Brave and the Bold theme.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's one of the shows that we actually haven't watched.
Ah, well, so we're a little behind?
Yes, exactly.
Makes sense.
Exactly.
All right, so we've talked about Batman Begins. We've talked about The Dark Knight. And now we're going to talk about The Dark Knight Rises, which is a weird name for the last movie of your trilogy.
Yeah, it's supposed to be symbolic of the fact that he's broken and then comes back and rises up from being broken.
Twice. This movie repeats its own storyline twice.
Yes.
This movie is terrible.
It has a lot of problems.
It's got so many problems. So the first time we saw this movie in the theater,
it is nowhere near half of the other Batman movies that could be on the list of, say, terrible is a strong word to say when you're talking about a Batman movie.
I take it back.
This one is the worst of the three.
Yes. Oh, by far.
Yeah, by far the worst of the three. It is not nearly to the standards of some of the other ones, but it is not a terrible movie.
It's not terrible,
but it has
problems. I don't want to watch it anymore. I don't want to see it again. So the first time we watched this, we saw it in the theater. We're like, oh my gosh, that was amazing, because it was big and flashy, and we were experiencing it for the first time, and our eyes were glossed over with, oh, Bill Nolan, Batman. And then we watched it again, and we're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
This one immediately loses a lot of credibility and everything. It suffers a lot from second viewing.
Oh, yeah. So if you have not seen this movie, watch it. You're going to think we're crazy with how much we're ripping on it. If you have seen this movie once, don't watch it again.
And
just trust us.
And if you've seen it more than once, the things we're going to point out, you're going to agree.
Mm-hmm.
Make it bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First of all, like you said, it repeats the storyline. So this takes place 5 years?
Yes.
5 years after The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So Joker, you know, he captured Joker, but Harvey Dent went crazy, turned to Two-Face, and they needed a shining example of what is good. So they decided to make Harvey Dent die, and they blamed Batman for it. So Batman went away.
Right, because they needed a symbol, which was what Batman originally was. He was a symbol for the town. He was a symbol for good.
Mm-hmm.
And now they needed Harvey to be that symbol. They needed a regular person who was actually unmasked and could, you know, be known by who he was, mm-hmm, to be the upstanding citizen. And Dent was already on his way to doing this. And then, of course, after the accident, you know, after he had acid on his face and they killed his fiance, and so he went a little crazy and he killed a couple people, and then he died himself. And Bruce convinced Gordon, I'm sorry, Batman convinced Gordon to blame it on him so that the city could unite kind of in its hatred of Batman while uniting in its love of Dent,
right,
and this would lift up the city.
So 5 years later, we get the story picks up, and not only is Batman gone, but Bruce Wayne has become a recluse.
And he limps.
Yeah.
Why was he limping?
He got injured somehow. His knee, his cartilage is gone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a bunch of problems.
He can barely walk without a cane.
Yes. And so he decides that that it's about time for him to come back because Bane has entered the scene, and with the most ridiculous voice I've ever heard in a movie.
Oh my gosh! So the movie opens on this airplane, and everybody in the plane is shouting to be heard because it's a plane. It's loud. And they open one of the doors because they're throwing people out of the plane. So it's loud and everyone's shouting. All of a sudden you just hear his voice and he's talking very normally and yet it's magnified, but he's not shouting. He's just talking in his weird Sean Connery-esque accent.
It's weird
thing.
And it's super unintimidating for such a big guy, and it's just unintimidating.
Oh, really? You think this is how it's going to be? Well, let me tell you, this is not at all what it is.
And you're like, wait,
so,
what?
So does he have, like, a microphone on the inside and a speaker on the outside? Because there's no way he should have been heard over the sound of the plane.
Well, apparently that during the actual filming, you couldn't hear him at all.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to do it in post. But I'm like, why would you choose this as the post voice?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
No.
And it's just terrible. Bane is one of the greatest Batman characters. One of the best.
Mm-hmm.
When he appeared in the comics in the 90s, he wasn't crazy like the rest of his Batman's rogue galleries. He was hired by the mob to come out and kill Batman. But he doesn't come out crazy with some diabolical scheme that involves traps and, oh, I'm going to get Batman and I'm going to fight him head on. He comes in, breaks all of Batman's villains out of the asylum. Batman is then up all night and day. Like, he doesn't get any sleep because he's out there capturing hundreds of bad guys that he's spent his entire life already capturing just to recapture them. He's tired. He's broken. Bane finds out that he is Bruce Wayne, and that's the reason why he did this. He makes him tired. He breaks down him as a person, goes there, and when Batman is too weak to fight back, he goes and breaks his back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brilliant. In the Batman and Robin, they used it. He was just a henchman, which is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, they don't touch on the fact that he's, like, as clever as he should be, and he's not as menacing as he should be either, because that venom thing makes him grow. It doesn't do that. This one, the mask gives him pain reliever because he's been hurt in pain, and so without the mask, he's in pain, and then he's weak. Like, that no. Okay.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But he comes on the scene, and he kind of does those things where he finds out that Bruce Wayne is Batman, and he kind of takes over, and he breaks Batman. And then he, for some reason, flies him all the way to this prison that he was in. And Batman has to relearn how to be Batman all over again in this prison, and it takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
During that time, there is a bomb that is set to go off because it's deteriorating. It's going to go off in 5 months. You spend the entire 5 months learning to be Batman again, which, okay, great. There's no one else that can save because all the cops have all been tricked into being in the sewers and then being trapped down there for 5 months.
And Gotham is cut off from the rest of the world.
Right, because they broke all the bridges.
Because airplanes don't exist.
Yeah. Ugh, like, yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing.
In that defense, they threatened to blow the bomb up early if they bring in any planes.
Mm.
But beside the point, he comes back, he does this. Batman shows up, finally, with a day left.
Mm-hmm.
A day out of 5 months, he has a day left, and it's going to be gone. He then decides to meet up with Catwoman, shave, get himself all cleaned up. So, hey, meet me here. And then he waits for Gordon to be caught, put into exile, which is where they send him out into the ice, and then waits there for who knows how long, waiting for him to show up, and he's like, light it. And Gordon lights the flare that he has and throws it, and it all of a sudden it follows this path. He has this giant bat in flames on the bridge that he must have painted with gas. How did he do this? He's not Superman. Superman could probably just, like, zip, 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 you know, like one of those old-school printers. Fine. No. Batman would have literally had to get up on the bridge, swing there, maybe get over, paint a little more. Paint again. Go, go throw it down. You have to have somebody. Does it look right? Does it look even?
Right, and all this time, he could have been finding the bomb.
Right. So by the time he actually does anything at all, it's like an hour left.
Mm.
Then they can't find which truck of the three has the bomb. And then he goes and then finally they run out of time, and he's like, I can't actually get the bomb. I can't actually stop the bomb, so I'm going to fly it out in the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
With 2 minutes left.
2 minutes left.
To get it. And the bomb has a blast radius of 6 miles. He has to fly in two minutes over 6 miles to get out of the blast radius, but there's still going to be fallout, so he had to go even further out.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do? He stops to kiss Catwoman. I'm like, by the way, not the freaking time.
Not the time.
Not the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, the autopilot. It's just so many things wrong with it.
Yeah. It gets worse every time we watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're focusing on the things that are terrible.
There's so many plot points that are so wrong.
So many
and they make absolutely no sense. And they're there just to make everything fantastic.
Yeah. It was a very weak ending to a very promising trilogy. Mm-hmm. But like you said, one of the reasons that it's kind of just thrown together is that they were planning on having Joker in this movie. They were planning on Heath Ledger returning.
Right.
And once that showed to not be possible, they had to kind of scramble to rewrite the story, and it shows.
Oh, it's terrible.
The story is thrown together.
Well, and there's so many cheesy lines, and he does everything for dramatic purpose.
Yeah.
There's so many things that are just done for dramatic purpose. You're like, why?
Yeah. It's bad. So, but be sure to check out our website, and we will link to the IMDb page, and we'll also link to the Everything That Is Wrong with the Batman, The Dark Knight Rises. So that you can get a visual
representation. It doesn't even cover everything.
And it doesn't cover everything we have a problem with. But it's a start.
Yes.
It's a start. So check us out, GomezCast.com. Also follow us on Facebook.
Yes.
We're a little behind. Give us a like and a follow.
And we'll be back again next week.
And we will be back again next week.
And what I'm going to do is, what we do is we call stretch. Because I need to be out at exactly a certain time.
Right.
Because I have something I want to play for everyone. We always play outro music. I'm going to play the full song this time. This is from one of the really good ones. This is from The Lego Movie.
Oh, very nice. He is also up there in my favorites favorite performances of Batman is, what's his name? Will Arnett as Lego Batman.
This is called
He's amazing.
Untitled Self-Portrait. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And?
Good night.
Oh, we still got like 12 seconds.
Oh, we do have 12 seconds. Okay. I'm sorry. Not good night yet. Enjoy the song. Visit our website. And you know what? We really enjoy being back with you.
Now good night.
See you next week.
Now good night.
Now good night.
Yes, this is real music. Dark, brooding, important, groundbreaking. Check out the lyrics. Darkness, no parents, continued darkness, more darkness, get it? The opposite of light, black hole, curtains drawn, in the basement, middle of the night, blacked out windows, other places that are dark. Black coffee. You get it, that's just the first verse. Darkness. No parents. Super rich. Kinda makes it better.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
A timeless classic comes to life on stage in Reading. Come watch as two California workmen travel along the Sacramento River, the story of gruff yet kind-hearted George and his simple and misunderstood friend Lenny. Starring Russell Payette and Don Tamblyn, along with an all-star cast that is sure to tug at your heartstrings. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Of Mice and Men, written by John Steinbeck, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 23rd through April 20th.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.